Hello and welcome to this week's African Media with me, Claire Broadhurst. Today we look at Ethiopia's social media blackout and social media as a channel for protests in Zimbabwe. First to Ethiopia, where the government imposed a ban on social networks, supposedly to help distracted students focus on their exams. After national university entrance exams were cancelled after questions were leaked online, the government cracked down in a big way, blocking access to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Viber. But many Ethiopians were skeptical about the government claim, given Addis's overcautious attitude to internet communications in general. Daniel Burhana, the permanent blogger behind the website Horn Affairs, is one of them.
The measure is very extreme, so extraordinary actions, extraordinary measures need extraordinary justification. So, okay, maybe this may be necessary, but it should have been done in a very transparent manner, in a very, very specific justification, so that we can be certain that it will not be used arbitrarily now and then, whenever they like to. Otherwise, given the trend of this state generally, given the lack of individual rights, the absence of individual rights, or means that this kind of thing can be abused. Let's say tomorrow some conservative elements in the society could come forward and ask the government to shut down Facebook because it's westernizing their children. And what are we going to say then? Because we are setting a precedent that if necessary, freedom of expression can be shut down arbitrarily and indefinitely. That's the precedent we are setting.
The country also has a history of blocking what the authorities consider opposition and human rights blogs. Ethiopia's attempts to censor the internet go via its laws. A recent bill which seeks to criminalize spamming is suspected of being an indirect way of censoring online journalists and activists.
If it is really in concern for the students, then okay, I can handle a few days. However, it should have been done in a transparent manner. There should have been a clear directive or regulation or proclamation establishing this right. My suspicion is that they acquired these blocking technologies before even the first exam was leaked. There was no leak when they acquired this technology. They acquired this technology in March and April. So this means they are already getting ready to acquire this technology and deploy it whenever they want. So my suspicion is that they used this occasion, they used this circumstance as an opportunity to test the equipment, one. Second, to establish a precedent that they can block the internet whenever they want to. That's the concerning part. I am displeased with the blocking currently, and I am also concerned that this will be a dangerous precedent.
The social media ban is the latest obstacle for Ethiopians seeking to offer an alternative to the state-dominated traditional media's narrative. And the UN Human Rights Council recently passed a resolution condemning the restriction of internet access as a human rights violation. On to Zimbabwe now, where a political protest movement is spreading fast because social media platforms provide citizens the courage to speak out against President Robert Mugabe's government. Discontent expressed online has been growing since April after Zimbabwean pastor Ewan Mawarire posted a video rant about his economic struggles using the hashtag ThisFlag. Concerned Zim Citizen is a group of cyber activists who have set up a Twitter feed to monitor and relay what's happening on the ground on a daily basis. The activist behind the account, who wishes to remain anonymous for security reasons, explains why this movement is different.
It's really taken to social media because it's being driven by a younger generation, the younger generation in Zimbabwe. We grew up, most of us that are really, upset and really, demanding that government either reform or leave are sort of, your younger, kind of people. But, really anyone who's not, part of government's elite is frustrated and tired. And the reason it's taken so well to social media is that, because it started with the young people kind of expressing their discontent with the older people kind of getting on board and say, and getting behind it. And social media is a tool that the younger people have mastered. And it's a tool that, allows us to communicate beyond borders, whether people are in Zimbabwe or not. And it's cheap. It's a cheap way to communicate now for a lot of us in Africa.
And how effective has it been when it comes to rallying more people?
I honestly think it's been very effective. We've had situations where, we're getting calls and, messaging and things like that from people in rural areas that we wouldn't expect to be, part of what's going on. But we're finding out that messages have been reaching people, and people have sort of secretly in their homes been sharing and talking about what's happening, and, really excited that finally, the people are speaking out. And it's also been great because it's allowed Zimbabweans who have been forced out of the country over the last 15 years, to, reconnect with the country, reconnect with people on the ground, and also kind of, voice their frustrations about our country. And the big thing is this, that in Zimbabwe, and as is the case in most of Africa, mobile phones are, most people have mobile phones now, and the smartphones are becoming more and more prevalent. And so it's really just making it easy for people to share information and communicate.
And it's about sharing information, communication, but also taking videos, pictures, and sharing them super fast online as well, I'm guessing.
Exactly. So it's about the speed of communicating. And then it's really been amazing because it's stuff that's happened on social media has quickly been taken offline. And so there's a lot of conversations. People who haven't seen the videos are aware of who, of the movements, are aware of the fact that the people are finally saying enough is enough, and they really are rallying behind it.
And who are the main figures, and what are the main hashtags right now trending?
The biggest one that kind of got everything started was the hashtag "This flag" was the biggest one, and then we've had a big, big response with the hashtag "Shut Down Zimbabwe 2016." There's a hashtag, another group that's started a hashtag "Tajamuka," which really just says it's a Shona slang word for we've finally kind of revolted. We finally said no. As of today, the hashtag "I too am Evans" is trending, and that's really because, they've I sent you a message earlier saying, showing that they've arrested Evan Mawarire. And so this hashtag is going around because the young people are saying, well, you've arrested him, but I am him too, because his frustrations are my frustrations. He's speaking for me too. So, even if you think you've locked him away, you've not locked the sentiments away, you've not locked the movement away.
And do you think the older generation, the generation that is still in power right now, is a bit frightened by this whole new wave of protests via social media?
They are freaking out. We had an incident last week on Wednesday as we were on shutdown, where for half the day, all of a sudden, all connections to WhatsApp from mobile phones in Zimbabwe were disrupted. The government's denied that they had anything to do with it. When we've sent messages and we've, been in touch with the mobile networks to find out why we were not able to connect, they've just, not given any reasons, which gives us reason to suspect that government had something to do with it, which obviously means that they were worried about what might happen. And I mean, the shutdown was still successful even with that interruption. But the truth is, as government, as the older generation, they didn't see this coming, and they actually do not know how to handle this. They've been threatening in the press, dropping hints at, adopting some of the laws that Russia has adopted about social media and things like that, really trying to find a way to kind of infringe upon our rights, really, to communicate and rights to, protest. And that shows that they don't know what to do with it. There are a few government officials that are on Twitter, have been active on Twitter, and they've really been attacked. People have kind of been sending messages, tagging them on Twitter and on social media, on WhatsApp, kind of telling them how they really feel. And, they've, resorted to threatening to find people, oh yeah, we're going to find you, and we're going to arrest you, we're going to put you away. Really, to be honest, using tactics that they used 20 years ago to try to fight a battle in 2016. And to be honest, we find that ridiculous. We're definitely winning because their threats are actually inspiring action. What they've done today in arresting Evan Mawarire is actually, it's caused a discussion to explode on social media, discussion to explode on the ground. I mean, I was just speaking with my parents, my dad a little bit ago. He's not on Twitter or any of this, but just even in his circles, everybody's talking about what they've done. And so, they've actually kind of helped the movement with free publicity, in our opinion, both locally and internationally, which ultimately we believe is good for us. We are determined to expose this government for the fraud that it is.
Observers say the pressures on 92-year-old Mugabe and on ZANU-PF are huge, especially considering general elections are due next year. Thank you for listening, and join us again at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.